Okay, you can open your Bible to chapter 13 of the book of Acts. Kind of a hinge chapter is what it is. Things are going to change now when you come to chapter 13 in the book, and I'll show you that. You see on the screen, it is the start of the missionary journeys. Let me just start. There's a lot to be said, and I'm contemplating what I want to say here. Says, tonight in our study of Acts, we have come to a very significant chapter, which is chapter 13. Before this chapter, Peter's ministry was the focus, but now it will all change. And from here on, the Apostle Paul's ministry will be the focus. It will be his ministry to the Gentiles, which the Holy Spirit draws our attention to. This chapter's a turning point. Let me pull a few thoughts together for you. In Acts 1, the words of Jesus are recorded by Dr. Luke. Here's what he writes. He says, when they therefore were come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now watch this, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The last statement starts in chapter 13. Let me show you on your paper. Watch this. At the end of verse 8, Jesus tells his disciples that they were to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We have seen the witness in Jerusalem. We've seen the witness in Judea. We've seen the witness in Samaria. As we step into chapter 13, we're going to see the beginning of the witness into the uttermost parts of the earth. It is in this chapter that Paul will begin his apostleship. Up until this chapter, after his conversion on the Damascus Road, Paul never acted as an apostle. But in this chapter, he will begin his apostleship. The most important point that we shall see in this chapter will be how the Holy Spirit guides and directs the believer. I cannot emphasize that enough. We're going to look at that. That's kind of the main focus tonight, and that's only in two verses. We're going to see who was gathered there and who were the teachers and the prophets in that church that was at Antioch. But what I want you to see is the guiding and the directing of the Spirit of God. And because this is so important, if there was ever a time in our world when we need the direction of the Spirit, it is today. There are so many things that are being taught out there. There are so many traps that are laid for you and I. I was just listening to somebody very popular that a lot of people will listen to, and I was listening to messages on the rapture, and I was kind of taken back at the sensationalism that was mixed in to the message of the rapture, and it's almost like it is used just to sell a book. And then going back to Matthew 24 and using that as that whenever there's two in a field and one's taken, and a couple at the mill and one is taken, using that as a picture of the rapture. And so all of that said to say, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You have the replacement theology that is around. You have the kingdom now theology that exists. There are just so many things. And so if ever there was a time when you and I needed the Spirit of God to give us the discernment that we need, to give us the direction we need, it is now. It is now in the day and age in which we live in. I think the deception that is building up in our world is possibly leading to the tribulation period because of all the deception that will exist in the tribulation period. And so this may be the forefront of that, what we're seeing. This is the start of it today. So with that said, we come to what I'm going to entitle Sending the Missionaries. Watch 1 and 2, if you would, of chapter 13. I'm going to get you a picture in this, and I don't think I go too far with the picture, but I'll show you what it is here in a moment. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and I'm going to call him Simon. You can call him Simeon if you want. That was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Menin, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." I will stop right there for now. What's your paper? Says, I first of all want to draw your attention to the first word, which is now. You see how the verse opens up? Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and it goes on. So it is now. I think that word is there for a specific reason. I've said this before. When God inspired the writers, like Dr. Luke here, they didn't have, like we did whenever we were in school and you had to write an essay, and there was a certain amount of words that you had to use. And if you didn't use those words, then that was a deduction on the grade. That's not the case when they wrote the Bible. So that word is there for a specific reason. Now. Right now, after the previous events and before what is about to happen, right now, right at this time. So let me get you back here. As I said, I don't want to go too far with this, but I do want you to see something. This is referring to a specific time after certain events. I want you to see within these first verses a beautiful picture of a biblical principle for us. It will be in verse 2 that the Holy Spirit will guide the church at Antioch to send Barnabas and Saul out on the first missionary journey. We're not told how the Spirit communicated with the leaders of the church, but we do know the message was very clear as to who they were to send. This guidance from the Spirit happened now. And as I said, it was after certain events that I believe paint the picture that I want you to see. So I want to back up just for a little bit. I don't want to go too far, but I think that there is if nothing else, there is the cloud of a picture here for us to grasp. Watch this. The previous event started with the death of James, who was a righteous man because he was a believer. And really, his death was to please the Jews. You remember that? You remember, his death was to please the Jews. Herod rose up and he vexed certain of the church and he killed James, and he seen that it pleased the Jews, and then he went on to imprison Peter. So the previous events, it starts with the death of James as a righteous man. The next event was the freedom of Peter from the prison he was locked up in awaiting his execution. Then there were the prayers of the church as they went to the throne of God on behalf of Peter. Then there was the death of Herod, and through his death, the church was able to breathe freely again. Then we come to chapter 13, and the Holy Spirit moves and tells the church to separate Barnabas and Saul for the ministry. So what is in all of this for us? Okay, so here's where I got the picture. Watch this. Let me draw some parallels. 2,000 years ago, a righteous man died at the approval of Jews, just as James did. And his name was Jesus. It was because of his death and his grace that we are set free from prison, in the sense that we were bound to sin and we too were sentenced to die, just as Peter was. Okay, so now you're starting to see a little bit of the picture. Now, because of his death, there has been a way made so that we can come to the throne of God and we too can pray for our loved ones and our friends. The death of Herod is a reminder to us that our old leader is now dead. That would be the old man or our sin nature. Romans chapter 6:6-7. Know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Okay, so let me go on. Now there's a new leader that lives within us, and he's the Holy Spirit. He wants to guide us and lead us in a life that will glorify and honor God. This is the most important point communicated in the chapter before us. When we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto God, and we refuse to let the old man lead, it is then that we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you look at the sequence of events. Watch Romans 6:11-18. Paul writes this. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, he became the servants of righteousness. So listen, so for you and I to be led by the Spirit of God, there are things that have happened. Before we were saved, before the death of Christ, before we knew him as Savior, we were controlled by the old man. We were controlled by the sin nature, which I think Herod here can picture him. But when we got saved, the old man was crucified with Christ. Again, Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So when we got saved, a lot of things happened, but one of the things that happened was this, that we were crucified with Christ. And so the old man, the sin nature, was stripped of his power whenever we got saved through the cross. The cross, I've said this before, the cross is the only thing that the sin nature will bow down to. That is it. That's the only thing that the sin nature will submit to. You cannot bludgeon the sin nature into submission. You can't do it. You know, people go through, they try to break different habits and addictions, and they try a lot of things to get free from those addictions, and they take things out of their lives, and they may need to get out of their lives, but ultimately the sin nature is got enough sense to know how to work around things, and so you can't even bludgeon the sin nature into submission. The only thing that will cause the sin nature to submit is the cross. That's why it says in verse 11 on the screen, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have been crucified with Christ. And now, whenever when we understand that, now we are free to be led by the Spirit of God. Watch the next paragraph. Back to the first word, now. It is not until the previous events happen in our lives that we can be led by the Spirit. We must see ourselves as dead to sin and to the old man. He's not to be the leader anymore. We have a new commander, and he lives within us. Understand that. Before you were saved, it was all about the sin nature ruling us. Until the sin nature is crucified and we recognize the fact that he was crucified, it is then that he gets off the throne in the heart, and the Spirit of God sits on the throne in our hearts, and then we can be guided by him. There's pictures of that throughout the Scriptures. I personally think you have one here. It may be faint, but I think you can see it here. I'll give you another one. You remember whenever Abram was called to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and you remember who took the lead in the midst of that? It was his father. It was what we could say the old man. His father took the lead, and they traveled for a ways, and then they came, and I can't remember the town that they came to, but it was there that they stayed, and then his father died. Once his father died, then Abram could move on into the land of Canaan. And so that is a picture of how, until we recognize that our old man has been crucified with Christ, then, and we recognize that, and we reckon that, and we apply that to our lives, then we are free to be led by the Spirit of God. And so here, these people are going to be led by the Spirit of God to know who to separate and who to send out. And it's interesting to me, whenever you look at this, if I'd have been in that church at Antioch, I'd have said, wait a minute, why are we sending these two guys out? Barnabas and Saul. They would have been, and just in my personal opinion, they would have been the two that you would have wanted to hold on to. But they were the two that God separated for the ministry, for the mission trip that was coming. Watch 13:1 again. I want to look at who's here. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, which that was called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene and Manene, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. So I want to go over these guys a little bit, because this is quite a mixture of individuals. I'll show you that. Watch this. It's important that we notice the individuals who are mentioned here. First, there was Barnabas. We know him from Acts 4, when he sold his land to give to the poor. He's a man who is an encourager. Remember him? He was the guy that his name got changed, and his name means encouragement, comforter. He's just one of those guys that you would want to be around. You would want to be around. When Saul was chosen, who will become the Apostle Paul in this chapter, when he was chosen for the mission trip, I can imagine that he was thrilled to have Barnabas go with him. That's the type of guy that you want to have with you. He's an encourager. He's there to support you. He's got the words to say. Okay, next, there was Simon that was called Niger. The Roman name Niger means black, which many see as meaning that he was a man who had dark skin. So he was a black man in the midst of the group. Okay, that's why it says right here he was called Niger. Because that's the name in the Roman language meant black. And so they referred to him as a black man. Okay, so now you've got an encourager. Now you have a black man in the midst of the group. No problem with that. Okay, he may have been from North Africa and was possibly, there's not enough to support this, but I want to show you something. Possibly the same Simon who carried the cross of Jesus. Watch this one, Matthew 27:32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. So possibly that's the same guy that you have here at the church of Antioch, but we don't know that. So we can't be dogmatic about it. You can't jump up and down on that and say, well, that's who that is, because we don't know. Let me go on. Then there was Lucius from Cyrene, who we know very little about. He may have been one of the believers who witnessed to the Gentiles in Antioch that got this church started. So let me show you that, okay? If I could, Acts 11:19-20. Watch, just remember, if you watch verse 1 again before I read Acts 11:19-20. Watch verse 1. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manene. So Lucius of Cyrene. So now watch Acts 11:19-20. It says, now when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. That's the same place Lucius is from. Which, when they were come to Antioch, spake to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So possibly he was one of those people that came and preached to the Gentiles to begin with. Okay, we don't know. There again, that's just a guess. The next guy we do know something about. Watch this. Then we're told there was a man named Manene, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Okay, now, watch this. This individual is very interesting. He was a foster brother to Herod Antipas. You say, well, who is that? I'll get to him in a moment. The term Tetrarch means he ruled over one-fourth of his father's kingdom. His father was Herod the Great, who ruled during the birth of Jesus Christ. So now listen to me for a moment. I want you to come back to the verse because I want you to get this. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manene, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. So they, so now listen, Manene and Herod's not here. Herod Antipas is not here, but Manene grew up with that guy and grew up under Herod the Great, the same guy that was that ruled over Jerusalem whenever Jesus was born, when the wise men came into town. You remember that? And the man that killed all the babies trying to destroy Jesus Christ. That's the guy, Manene, is growing up underneath his authority. He's growing up under his authority. Let me go on. This Herod mentioned here, okay, Herod, the Tetrarch, or the one that ruled over part of one-fourth of his father's kingdom. This Herod in this verse, okay, now watch who he is, was the same Herod who killed John the Baptist. He was the Herod whom Jesus referred to as a fox. So I'm painting the picture because I want you to see what kind of a family Manene grew up in. He's under Herod the Great as a foster child. He's got Herod the fox, Herod the Antipas, the one that killed John the Baptist. He's got him as a foster brother. Okay, let me just show you. Here's how Jesus referred to him, Luke 13, 31 and 32. Says, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. That's the Herod that was the foster brother of Manene. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do curses today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. So Jesus referred to him as a fox. Now I'm just painting the picture because I want you to see what Manene grew up in. He's in that Herod dynasty. He's in the midst of that. He was taken in as a foster child in the midst of that. You and I would look at a guy pulled into a family like that and you'd say, he don't have a chance. He don't have a chance. But he did. Because right now he's listed as one of the prophets and or one of the teachers that was at this significant church that was at Antioch. What? Let me go on. Watch words. F.F. Bruce shared the following. He said, Josephus mentions an earlier Manene, an Essene, who was honored by Herod the Great for having foretold his rise to royal estate. He could well have been the grandfather of this Manene. Okay? So possibly this guy's grandfather was honored by Herod the Great. Maybe that's how he ended up in the family. Possibly that's how he ended up in the family. We don't know. Okay, now watch this. It's natural to suppose that Luke's special knowledge of the members of the Herod dynasty may have been derived from Manene. I mean, he's got an inside connection now. This guy's a believer. He's in the church. Luke could have got a lot of information from this guy about that dynasty because now you've got an insider who's come out. Now he's on the good side. Okay, but watch this. But what a commentary on the mystery and sovereignty of divine grace that of these two foster brothers, one should attain honor as a Christian leader, while the other should be best known for his shameful behavior in the killing of John the Baptist and in the trial of Jesus. Completely different. Let me give you one more. Watch the words of Phillips, and then I'll comment on this in a quote. Manene became a believer. Herod became a beast. Manene became a minister. Herod became a murderer. Manene found salvation in the arms of Jesus. Herod found shame in the arms of Herodias, a woman who goaded him on to ruin, unquote. So I give you all of that, and I could have stayed right there and talked about him for a long time, but I got to say this. Sometimes, a lot of times, the world blames an individual in the way they are because of where they grew up. And that, I'll give you that. That, you know, that can have a lot of influence. But you've, when I look at this, I realize that every person makes their own choice. Every person makes their own choice. Menin grew up in that Herod dynasty. He's right in the middle of it. Foster brother with Herod, with Herod Antipas. He knew what evil was. And he grew up in the midst of there, and somehow, some way, the gospel got to him. And he made a choice that he didn't want to live like that family did. He was willing to separate. And you can imagine, if he grew up like a foster brother, he had a lot of things handed down to him. He would have been kind of like Moses in a palace, and he would have had the world at his fingertips. But that wasn't what he wanted. That wasn't what he longed for. He wanted something deeper, something richer, and he found a relationship with Christ. So I guess I would use that, and I would say this to you, that, you know, if you know somebody that is in a bad situation and a bad surrounding, just the wrong kind of friends and the wrong kind of influences, don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Continue to pray for them, because they may turn out to be a menin. It'll come out of there. Let me go on. I got to keep rolling. I cut back on the pages, and I'm still going to run over. Next week, we'll come back with two pages and see how it goes. Watch this. The last one mentioned is Saul in verse 1. So there was quite a mixture of individuals who were teachers and or prophets in this church at Antioch, but they were all focused upon one thing, and that was serving the Lord. They had a burden to reach the lost and to teach the saints. That's what they longed to do. What a church that must have been. All because, boy, there's just so much to say about that. All because those couple people back in Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 19 and going down through verse 20, they decided to go against the flow. Some of them were only preaching the gospel to the Jews, but there was some from Cyprus and Cyrene that said, you know what, we're going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And that caused this explosion. Spiritual explosion, and from that came this church, and now you've got these guys that are in the church, and what a church it must have been. What a church it must have been. Watch verse 2 again. I got to keep rolling. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. It's the last verse we'll look at tonight, but I'll use this to drive home a point. Watch this. I want you to see that when the Holy Ghost spoke to them to send who to send on the mission trip, it was while they ministered to the Lord and they fasted. They ministered to the Lord as they ministered to the people. So whenever you read that, it says as they ministered to the Lord. That was through the ministry to the people. Because to serve the people is to serve the Lord, because the people are the body of Christ. So they are ministering to the people, that's the same as ministering to the Lord. But watch the conclusion and the application here. When I read this, it makes me wonder how many people are not hearing from the Spirit today because they're not serving and they're distracted by something of the world. The fasting here in verse 2 was setting aside food so that they could spend time concentrating on the Lord and His work. There is a need for fasting today, but I do not mean to set food aside. There are many other things that completely steal away the attention of believers today that it would be good to fast from. Cell phones, computers, sports, television, and the list goes on and on. I'm convinced that there are few that get direction from the Spirit because they are caught up in so many other things. He will not force His guidance upon anyone. He will not. He wants us to seek His will and His direction. Let us not miss also that the Spirit spoke to them when they were ministering to the Lord. This means they were serving the Lord by serving others. They were exercising their gifts. God often gives us the direction we need when we're moving forward for Him, or at least doing what we can do where we're at. God will often point you, and I've said this before, God can't steer a parked car. So you can't just be, you know, you can't just sit down and say, well, I'm going to wait till God tells me what I need to do. No, do what you can right where you're at and do it as unto the Lord, and stay separated from things that distract us. Boy, that's a battle today, isn't it? I mean, it's a battle. It is for me. It's a battle, you know. I stop and think about this, and I say this, and I want you to understand, if you got to call me, you call me whenever you need to call me. That's no problem. But I often stop and I think about this. What about, you know, what about back in the days whenever I got saved, back in the 90s? It sounds like a long time ago, doesn't it? Clear back in the 90s, yeah. You know, pastors didn't have cell phones. And if you wanted them, you called the house. And if they were out on the road, you know what? You couldn't get a hold of them. And yet, things still moved, didn't they? Things still worked. And now, you know, you feel like, I know how I am sometimes, I feel like that no matter where you move to, if I walk from my house to the garage, I better take that along, because what if somebody wants to get a hold of me? And lately I've got to the place where I've turned the ringer off, and don't be offended by that, and just walked away, because it gets to be to the point of being a distraction. And if you need a call, and if somebody's listening on the live stream, I am not saying anything against anybody reaching out to me. I'm not. But there are sometimes whenever you just got, and it's not only in my life, you just got to separate from stuff, don't you? You just got to separate from it, because you get so loaded up with everything that the Spirit of God can't get a word in edgewise. And you're out of tune with Him, and so there's no way in the world you're going to get the direction that you need from Him, because our minds are filled up with everything else. They're filled up with everything. These people ministered unto the Lord and fasted. They set the food aside, because they said, you know what, there's something even more important than eating, and that is finding the will of God. You know, also, when I look at the word fasted there, if you go through the Bible, and I didn't take time to do that, but you'll find out a lot of places fasting is connected with mourning. That was interesting to me whenever I considered this right here. What was the mourning? What was the sadness that had come over them? Possibly this, that God had burdened their hearts for those of the world that didn't know Christ as Savior. They could feel that burden. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know. They had a burden. They didn't know what to do with it, but they had a burden. And so they decided that they were gonna get away from the food, and they're gonna continue to minister to the people. They gotta do that, but they're gonna listen. And God says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Here's the answer. Let me go back here. I want to show you something. I don't know if I read that last couple lines there on that the upper paragraph. It says they were exercising their gifts. God often gives to us the direction we need when we're moving forward for Him. Let me show you something from the life of Nehemiah, okay? Nehemiah 1, 3, and 4. Watch this. Nehemiah, you remember his brethren came back from being at Jerusalem while he's serving as cupbearer in the palace for Artaxerxes. And he says, how's everything going back in Jerusalem? And they told him, you know, it's just, I'm paraphrasing, but it's just nothing but rubble. Here's what we have, verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnants that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. Here it comes, and fasted. See, the fasting goes with the mourning. And prayed before the God of heaven. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He got this burden. He didn't know what to do. He's going to go on, and he's going to do what he's given to do, and he's going to serve Artaxerxes, and he's going to continue down the path for a couple months. And then chapter 2, then you read this. So I came to Jerusalem because the the Artaxerxes left him go back. It even provided letters so that he could get everything that he needed there. Okay, but watch what he says here. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I rose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do in Jerusalem. At first, it started with a burden. I don't think he knew exactly what to do in that situation. His heart was heavy. He continued to serve. And whenever he served, God put this in his heart to go back to Jerusalem, to be the leader in that wall building project. Last line I have. God gives direction to us when we're doing what we can where we are at, and when we are not distracted with something of this world. So important. These, you come to chapter 13, and the first thing you see is the Spirit of God working in this church. And I'll say it one more time. If ever there was a time whenever churches needed the Spirit of God, it is right now in the world in which we live in. We need this. So we can't allow Claysburg Bible Church to get distracted with stuff of the world. A lot of churches are distracted with the things of the world. They are, and so they don't hear God because they're just so overloaded with stuff of the world, and the world's come in and made a lot of noise. So they don't hear the Spirit of God directing. We need to make sure that doesn't happen. Neither in our lives. Also, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we didn't get very far. We just got a couple verses. Lord, we see how they heard from the Spirit by ministering to you and also by fasting, separation. Lord, we need to live separated lives. There's a lot. Satan has put a lot in our world that is used for distractions. Lord, as believers, we need to be wise to that. We need to have discernment to be able to recognize those things which distract us so that, Father, we can separate from them so that we might be quiet, be still, and hear that still small voice that directs us in our lives. Father, take us home safely tonight. Give us a good week the rest of the week. Direct our steps. Lord, help us to put into practice what we learn here tonight. Well, thank you for it. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.